professional technical scale. None of it's on the professional scale.
Content or quality. Yeah, but technically. Well, if this makes you feel better, I don't really remember much of that podcast.
Yes.
So if you guys have any like,
I have learned my lesson. BCS Day and AC/DC Day is a bad combination, and just I should not.
Too ask. Many acronyms, right? That's just too many. BCS, AC/DC
to
equals BS
equals DUI.
Handle the technical issues.
Hey, I had a limo pick me up from AC/DC.
So there was no DUI.
I would love to see the line of limos.
It was amazing.
Waiting to pick people up at that concert.
You think there were a lot?
Now wait a minute.
Men walking out with blinking horns on their head, waiting for their limo to pick
you
them
you
up.
Did you did come home with blinking horns, right?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I wish you could have seen that picture.
My daughter loves them.
Your daughter loves AC/DC.
The horns, the blinking horns.
Oh, the horns. Oh, good. I'm very glad to hear that.
Yep. Who are we?
So, welcome to the Worldwide IT Guys podcast here. I am Steve.
I'm Dion.
John.
Sean.
And we are the Worldwide IT Guys. And we're here for, you guys can't count either. We're here for podcast number 24. You guys kind of went through, I think, wait a minute, is this 24? Is this 26? Is this, what number are we on?
It felt like 60.
You went around, so... We are not quite 6 months old. I think that was brought up last week. We've been doing this for half a year. It's like, well, not really, but you're getting there.
You feel so accomplished.
And I'll apologize now. My voice isn't what it normally is.
It's better.
Not that it's great any time, but at least I don't have to clear my throat constantly most of the time. So yes, we are at podcast number 24. We're almost half a year in. Not so bad.
Not so bad.
So, it was
so much to talk about.
Is there so much to talk about? It was an interesting, podcast last week.
I have no idea.
It was kind of a mess. Besides the technical difficulties that we had
we had a long review of Deadpool. I do remember that.
Well,
I mean, like, that had to be, I think it was 17 minutes less than the actual running order of the movie.
Yeah. I don't have to see the movie anymore.
And in follow-up, I saw it again last Friday. Let me give you all the Easter eggs that I found the second time around. Here we go. No, I'm just kidding. It was that good. I enjoyed it.
I've heard it's very good. It's actually, surprisingly, at least to me, on pace to be the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time.
I think it's already there, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Wow. Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah, they said it was inevitable that it would become that if it wasn't already there. So
I think
that's amazing.
I think it reached past, I think one of the Matrix movies was the number one, and I think it passed it.
Oh, that was really? Wow. R? Really?
That's
Matrix?
Hearsay.
Yeah, the Matrix was R. It's pretty violent.
Okay. It's very violent, and I don't know which one it was, but there was some sort of like sex scene.
Yeah, that was I think two. But well, the funny thing about the Matrix is it was same with Deadpool. It's like they allowed it to become R because they didn't think it'd be that big,
right?
And they're like, oh well, we don't need to get the kid. You know, we don't need that PG-13 revenue stream,
yeah.
You know.
I would make it R because of the Keanu Reeves acting. But.
See, I actually kind of liked him, not to talk about movies too much. I kind of liked him in The Matrix because he has such a wooden thing. I thought it played to the computer vibe
sort of well. It definitely played well there.
Yeah.
It definitely played well there.
Yes.
But not that we shouldn't, you know, move on from movies, but we should... I've heard rumor that we talked up Star Wars to the teeth until it released.
We did talk a lot of Star Wars.
And then it never got talked about after it actually got released.
Well, I think you guys...
We were never together because the people who saw it weren't here to talk about it together. So,
and then I took a while because I just don't go to movies that often.
Have you seen it?
I have seen it now.
Okay.
Yes.
So everybody in the room has seen it.
Yes.
At least once.
Oh, and... Last week, I don't know if spoiler alert was ever said about Deadpool, but spoilers were all over that one. If you haven't seen Star Wars, the new Star Wars movie, I apologize. Yeah. Who cares? It's been out too long.
Yeah.
You really are pathetic.
Yeah, we're like a month away from DVD.
If you care about this, and we're going to talk about it.
Sure.
So very briefly, yes or no on the Star Wars movie? I think we said this at one point. Yes?
Unanimously yes, I think.
Do we like Star Wars, John?
Liked it, yes. Liked definitely.
It. I liked it. I didn't think it was great, but I liked it.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't great.
I thought it felt like a fan-made mashup of, like, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and some
How
of the original Star Wars. I thought it was basically a fan-made mashup of the original trilogy. There was just... There were too many plot devices that were almost just wholly borrowed out of the first one, I felt.
And J.J. Abrams pretty much said, I'm a big fan, and I'm in this playground, and he did. He did exactly that. But the question for me is, you know, it didn't fail as a result. I wasn't disappointed in any way, shape, or form because of those things.
Yeah.
Where does it go from here?
Yeah. They got to get off, I feel, this Death Star kick. I mean, how many times can we blow the same
Death
fucking
Planet.
Thing
Do
up?
Do they have Death Galaxy next?
Yeah, well, I don't know what they go up to next. Yeah.
I mean,
they just keep making it bigger.
Weapons of mass destruction,
They keep having that one vent hole that you just can't.
The exhaust port, God damn it.
But they need to exhaust. Come on.
Somebody needs to exhaust. So what intrigues me about where it's going is they introduced the Kylo Ren character and his tie to, you know, it's all in the family, right?
Yeah.
It's the Star Wars, all in the family. So where does he go?
Yeah.
And what will be disappointing to me is if for whatever reason he finds, you know, the Force and moves back to the good side, that would be disappointing to me.
Uh-huh.
It's like, we've done this. That was the Darth Vader story, to your point, right?
Yeah.
Let's not do the same thing just in a new generation.
Uh-huh.
Let's do something interesting and different.
Well, supposedly, not to ruin it, in the books, supposedly, I've heard, my neighbor says that's what happens in the books, that he becomes good.
Seems
I don't
like
know
everyone,
if that's what will happen. Yeah. I have no idea what, because I know they have said in the past, like, we're not overly monogamous to the books. So who knows what will
right.
happen.
Right.
But
and,
I guess in the
and
books,
they did.
That's
they
what
threw
happened.
Out a ton of, you know, the canon prior, mm-hmm. and they were building new. So hopefully...
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
No. And then the other character that was introduced, she's referred to as Daisy, right? The
Daisy Ray?
The female character who's kind of the heroine of things, she ends the movie, handing Luke Skywalker his lightsaber
back.
Who is she? What is her source? What is her...
Who is she an offspring of? That's what I want to know.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Where does she come from?
Right.
She has to be related somehow to this whole thing. And what is her role in the whole play of things.
I mean, this is like one big dysfunctional family.
It really is.
I mean, everyone's sleeping with everyone. Everyone's killing each other's dads. Yes. I'm going to kill my dad.
No.
It totally is. I mean...
Hello, spoilers.
I'm surprised there's not like a parody of this like in Family Kentucky.
It's so, out of Shakespeare. I mean, it's very...
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's where I would go with it.
Well, that's what Lucas always claimed, too. You know, that it was a space opera about, you know, melodramatic family and so on.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So we'll continue down that track, but we all enjoyed it, and we're happy to have it out of the blocks, and let's see where number two goes.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way: when they rebooted with Episode One, and they had Jar Jar, and he's like, "I got to get a whole new generation to love this. I'm gonna like dumb it down to like kid level." Everyone's like, "Oh shit, this sucked." This one was not an overall, "Oh shit, this sucked." This was a great way to reboot. You didn't, you know, you got me intrigued. This wasn't like the best Star Wars I've ever seen in my life, but coming from fanboy, I think you did an amazing job.
Yeah, I think they decided to play it safe. They played it safe and they made a good movie. Like, they're like, we can't afford to have a bad movie.
No.
You know, so like, we're going to borrow on a lot of stuff because we know it's a safe bet, and we're not going to just like try and reintroduce a whole new aesthetic to
well,
the...
Well, they have billions riding on it.
Oh, they so do.
You gotta
they
be
totally
super
do.
Safe.
Yeah.
You gotta be super safe.
I mean,
safe.
Disney bought it for what, $5 billion?
And they made a billion building, out of the blocks.
Star Trek. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're building Star Trek. Like, Disney World's almost gonna be as much about Star Wars as...
The
Disney line.
The new Disney World. Disney lines. Star Wars.
Did anybody see that?
Yes.
Did you see that there was like a special on 60th anniversary or something of Disneyland?
They're building a Star Wars Disney World.
There was a special.
Yeah, I heard that. I didn't see anything about it.
And they have attractions already in the current park, but they're going to build a whole new park because they have so much land that's just Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to be able to, like, have dinner in the Millennium Falcon and, like, go to, like, see, what's the name of the band that plays in the...
Oh, the Katina Band.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to see the Katina Band. Yeah. And dinner. Like, you're going to be able to go to these places. You're going to be able to ride in an X-Wing. Like, you know, it's just going to be...
The Max Rebo Band. That's their name. I had to jog my... I read the Star Wars Encyclopedia books with my kids. So, like, usually I can name all these...
Sure, it's because of your kids.
Yeah, all these trivia. That was what I proposed my first son be named, Max Rebo.
I was just going to say, I read a Star Wars book to my son last night. I sent you guys a picture of it.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I realize why this book is always checked out in elementary schools, because there's a picture of Princess Leia in her bikini.
The slave Leia.
In the slave Leia outfit.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff.
So, yes, the Disney is... definitely taking advantage of this, and I think this is, frankly, it's their reaction to what what's the other one in Orlando? There's the other park.
Universal.
Thank you. Universal's park and what they've done with the Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
They kind of realized that, holy crap, we're behind now because they did all this amazing technology for the Harry Potter stuff. This is their thing to now up the ante. It'll be fun. I don't know. And it's not a new park. I understand they took the old movie studio park, MGM.
Yeah.
They basically shut it down and said, we're going to rehash this to build it back up.
Just for Star Wars.
Special.
Yep. Because they know for the next 8 years, Star Wars is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So
I have a friend who worked at Disneyland. Or Disney World. Disney World is the one in Florida. I guess they hire college kids all the time and you just spend the summer. So it was the hardest drinking he's ever done in his life. And he's a pretty big drinker. And he said, like, all those college kids just get blasted, every night, you know?
Yeah, I have a friend who worked there for a lot of years.
He
started on that
program
and ended up, you know, kind of head of convention services. So,
oh, okay.
You know, They go in hard, they go in young, and then they weed them out and try to figure out who's going to stick. Why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's movies.
Oh, that's movies?
That's movies.
Wow, it's like, knock them off. What's next? Come on.
We're like the McLaughlin group. You know, next, Republican primaries.
Trump, go. What is it a PTI or whatever?
I don't want to. For how badly I messed last week up, let's keep this going here. We're good.
Keep it efficient. We don't want to get too detailed. Yeah. Don't worry, Dion.
And remind me what I said last week.
You're under control, so I think we're fine. Well, did you guys talk about the Apple stuff? I think you did.
Well, the with the FBI.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk. There wasn't like a bunch of updates at that point in time.
It was new.
I don't think Apple had even responded yet, I don't believe.
But this past week, there's been all these protests at Apple stores for people that are for Apple. They're saying, don't give in to the government. Don't give the man.
Right, but what cracked me up was, one of you guys shared this, the fact that John McAfee came out and said, I can do this.
Yeah, that was actually Gavin who shared it, but
no,
or was
me.
It you? Yeah,
3 weeks.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Come on.
Yes, I remember that because I brought it up because Sean's got an affinity to John McAfee.
I love John McAfee.
Because McAfee created the antivirus software years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what I want to just revisionist. Here, I want to go back and say, didn't we talk about John McAfee once before?
Early.
And the fact that he was going to get like arrested because he murdered his neighbor?
He was accused of murdering a woman. He escaped jail in some country. He claims that it was trumped up charges. And the U.S. government, the U.S. government seems to agree with him, because like the U.S. government didn't, you know, help him get re-extradited or anything.
So where does he live now? Because he was in Costa Rica or something like that.
Yeah, I think he lives in Latin America somewhere, but I don't... Like, I know he's, like, always on the run. Like, there's a very famous Vice clip where they interviewed him, and they accidentally geotagged where they were at.
Oh, yes.
And he had, like, a friend. He's like, oh, if my friend doesn't get here first, we're dead. And, like, the reporter is like, can you chill out, man? He's like, oh, man, there's no way we have all our fingers at the end of this day. He's just, like, going on and on. But he's also, like, I think he was high on cocaine, because then he would go from saying we're all going to die to then, like, singing out loud with the Rolling Stones and trying to dance. And, you
know. So this is where mentally I have left Mr. McAfee.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I see is this. No. I got you covered. Mm-hmm. I can hack this iPhone. I got a network of hackers.
Yeah.
We're going to take care of this. How long? 3 weeks?
He says 3 weeks.
3 weeks. He'll get it done. No problem.
It'd be interesting. You know, I don't know if you could do that. Well, I don't know legally if the FBI could do it. I would think you could hire consulting services however you want. But I don't know how you would trust that they did it right.
Sure.
You know, I don't know. It would be interesting. But I wonder if they could.
But that's the other thing about this whole story is, so they want this back door. Why doesn't Apple just say, okay, no problem, we'll take care of it, and go... And say, you know what, we did it, and here's the data, and it's just data, and it's
just... Expose whatever they want of your privacy.
Yeah.
And I think that would hurt Apple in the long run. And I feel like somebody's going after Apple, because it's kind of like, you know what, Apple's too big for their britches. Let's take
well, I don't think anyone's going after it. I mean, the know. Government has always wanted access
well,
to
yeah, but so they had Echelon, you know? And then they got told to shut down recording every mm-hmm. phone call and only record certain ones, whether they are or not, whatever. But so they can't get every phone call, text message, and access to everything. So mm-hmm. now they want the back door so that anytime they ask through a judge who's going to say, sure, anytime, then they get access. Then they have a way to do it. And I, you know what? I
well, but it would only probably be applicable to dead people too, right? Because if this person was still alive, they would have a warrant that would force him to give them the password, or he would just stay in jail for contempt of court, right? You know, like, because the judge has signed the warrant.
Yes.
So we're also only worrying sort of about dead people, you know, or uncooperative people, you know. Yes. I don't know. It's another interesting aspect of it, you know.
So you're saying that they don't have to...
One,
they can't coerce somebody into giving up their passcode. This is the single case.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That is the issue.
So one horrible dead person equals unlocking the privacy.
Oh,
of
I don't know. I'm not pro backdoor.
I'm just saying
it's a very unique.
That's where we're going. Though.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're saying.
I'm pro backdoor.
No, I'm not. I don't think the government should have access.
Oh, we're talking about security?
Security.
Yeah. No, I don't think the government, you know, should have access to it at all, you know. I don't know. It's funny. Usually when you open up these things that you think are going to be these treasure troves, whether it's a safe in a basement or Al Capone, like it never
Geraldo
seems to
Rivera
reveal,
is going to open
it
up.
It never
the,
seems to reveal
yes.
anything. And that's my, it's going to be hilarious if they finally get
well,
it open.
They're going to open it up. I do.
There's nothing in there.
Yeah, there's
so
Apple's
he looks at a lot of
said,
porn. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but Apple's already said, listen, he synchronized his phone and his computer to the cloud up until this point, which was 2.5 months ago.
Yeah.
We give you access to everything in our cloud environment.
Yes, exactly.
We give you access to everything that wasn't encrypted on his device. You got it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're asking us to unencrypt and break the security mm-hmm. protocol for everybody that we've promised security to for one bad guy.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. No, we won't do that.
Yeah.
And I,
who, by the way, was a government employee using a government phone.
I mean, don't
assholes. Anyway. So why don't you guys open it up? You know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And then there's a whole rumor about that.
The password change?
Yeah. That the FBI went to San Bernardino County or whatever it is, and they
Changed the password. Which they knew.
This could have been retrievable if the FBI hadn't told this guy's IT services to change his password.
Right. Right.
I don't think we'll know that until for months now. I'm sure eventually the press will discover what's true.
The timetable is like literally the next couple of days.
Yeah.
That I don't know if it's their deadline. They pushed their deadline. Their deadline was, I think, today. It was the 24th or 25th or 26th. So I think they pushed the deadline to the next couple of days, maybe early next week. There has to be some response. So there's a short-term discussion. It'll probably get pushed again, or there will be some extenuating circumstances. But this is like literally it can't drag out until next week when we hear what they've done to drag it out.
What's weird to me, though, is Apple hasn't said that they can't do it yet.
No, they've said they can.
They know they can.
Wouldn't that mean that somebody else can, too? That if you were good enough, like the NSA or somebody, and you could go, like, so that means there must be some sort of trust level between, like, Apple certificate. I don't know. Maybe they have the private key. Is that the? Maybe they have the key.
No.
So they.
I think it's the source code. They have to effectively build a version of the iOS software that they could deploy on that device.
But how would you deploy without? It's just interesting to me that would, in theory, mean somebody else could do it if Apple can do it, that it's not technically impossible.
That's true.
You know, that if you could duplicate their cert or, you know, who knows how Apple would do this? I don't know. But that means if it's not a technical impossibility,
why doesn't somebody else?
So when a device, I think what happens is there's an initialization service that runs on the iPhone when it boots, and it says check a bunch of things, and Apple can say, in the check a bunch of things process, we say, oh, you need to do this right now. Fuck checking.
Like if you had it hooked up over USB.
Yeah. Because it's been off. Yeah. It's been off. It's not connected. Yeah. It's not getting updates. It's not, you know, downloading CNN updates and your fantasy football scores. Mm-hmm. It is basically saying, I haven't been online for a while. I need to update a bunch of shit. So the iPhone says, Apple says, mother says, do this. And that means, you install this, this, and this, and then it breaks a bunch of things. That's what would happen when they turn this phone back on. If Apple said, we completely comply, we will break our encryption, we will tell its firmware to re-download it, you know, update and do all these things as soon as it connects to us.
No, I'm just thinking, like, it could. And I read another article, and who knows how true this is, that there are companies that sell that service, supposedly, you know.
Hmm.
But that it's like the going rate is something like, it's like 5 million. And I don't know if it's ever even been bought, so who knows if it would work, but it's like $5 million to like unload. Like McAfee referenced that. So that might also be the other thing that the FBI
is like,
we're not paying these, you know.
Right.
We're not going to pay, you know, Uber, you know, whatever it is, probably some shady.
Uber.
So, you know, Uber.
I think
Uber.
here's what I think is interesting. There's two parts to this, right? So I think the way this works is you throw the phone in a box that it can't connect cellularly and it can only get Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi tells it, "Oh, you are talking to Apple." You spoof it. You say, "Here's the firmware you need to upload right now," and you hack the phone, right? The other thing that I think is interesting is that McAfee, who's been known for, "I'm on the side of antivirus. I'm going to protect you," is now in the game of, "I'm not going to rip the fuck out of your shit and hack in and be able to tear your iPhone apart." It's like the opposite of
He's always been very anti-government. Like he was always part of the Libertarian Party, and he's always had an anti-government streak. Even though he always worked for he worked for NASA, the NSA, and Lockheed Martin. I think he's actually a genius. He's so ludicrous now, and I don't know how competent. It almost seems like he might have mental illness now. I don't know.
He killed too many brain cells, is what you're saying?
I don't know.
That worries me.
But he is a brilliant, brilliant man. Or at least was. You know.
Maybe he's too smart for his own good.
Yeah, he might
pushed
be.
Pushed himself over the edge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
next.
The Apple discussion is, we'll see where it goes from here, but what you guys were talking about with the you know, ways around things and all, I wondered, did anybody ever talk about the issue of, like, the bricking? There's, like, a...
Oh, with that bug? Yeah, that's an atrocious bug.
Well, the 1970 bug?
Is it an atrocious
bug? Well, no, that's the one. So, like, if you get a non-compliant... Well, this is the problem, in my opinion. For people that weren't using that security, it still becomes a brick. So, like, the issue, as this is how I understand it, that if you elect to use the finger recognition security protocol, and if that part gets repaired outside of Apple, that the phone interprets that as a potential hardware hack of the fingerprint technology, so it bricks the phone, because it says, you know, you've tried to insert new hardware to get past my security.
Well, if anybody reads their, you know, their license agreement and all, they're going to know that they should not be going outside of Apple's
port. January 1st, 1970.
This came up with a camera, or excuse me, a reporter was in Pakistan. I think it was Syria, covering the uprising.
And there wasn't an Apple store.
There wasn't
right
an Apple store, you know, in Syria, in the middle of a war zone.
That's their problem. Yeah. I'm sorry.
There's Starbucks, but not an Apple store.
But he wasn't actually using the. So this is the problem. He wasn't actually using the fingerprint technology. So it wasn't like. It's like for some. It's just very frustrating that your phone gets bricked because they think you're trying to circumvent something that you never even turned on. That isn't even a route to getting inside your phone.
That is absolutely ridiculous if that's true.
If it is, yes. Yes. Yeah.
But I was talking more about the 1970 bug, which is supposedly if you set it to January 1st, 1970.
That's when Unix does. So that's always the epoch for modern dates in computing.
The epoch.
Yeah.
That's
the whole thing.
Yeah.
Gets, and then you like restart your phone, it bricks.
What?
It
are you serious?
Bricks the phone.
Hilarious.
Don't do that, Sean.
Has anybody tried this?
Well, you know, here's the thing. The reason why I brought this up originally was because maybe 2 years ago, we had people who didn't have start dates at our company. And we're like, they have to have a start date. The value of null is not acceptable.
Yeah.
I hate the fucking null
you
value
don't like the word.
In our directory, okay? So we like set it. I'm like, so set it to a date. And the consensus was, well, let's set it to a date so that we know that we don't actually have a valid date to a point that's so early that nobody would think it's real. And we couldn't go further back then. January 1st, 1970.
Well, we could, but it's just the easiest date to
you didn't want to break every system in our freaking company. Yeah.
So, our company.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, Facebook had the same thing where really old users, it would say you'd been friends with this person for, 45 years because people who didn't have...
even if you were 23?
Yeah, they didn't have like a certain date field that Facebook introduced in the last 5 years. It defaulted to January 1st, 1970.
That's funny.
Yeah, the epoch.
You know what's interesting is Windows epoch is the start of the Gregorian calendar.
Oh, yeah.
I know this because I have to do... We have a ton of logic in our system that has to convert Active Directory dates, which are all Gregorian calendar based, to Unix dates, which are always 1970, and I wonder if you could brick a Windows phone by setting the date to January 1st, 1456.
Oh,
like the start of the... This is the nerdiest joke I've ever... nerdiest proposal I have ever stated, but if you set a window, maybe that's how you brick a Windows phone.
So here's the deal. I have a Windows phone.
Yeah.
I am willing to try that.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody else is willing to try that on their iPhone.
I'll try it on my iPhone as long as you approve the new one since you're in charge of it.
A little too eager.
All right.
No, the reason I brought it up was, and I knew the bricking and the whole thing, but what I didn't know is what I just heard recently, that there's actually a simple fix to this problem.
Which
is? So it does brick the phone, but... It bricks the phone so long as the battery's alive. The battery dies, the whole thing is gone. And so whatever the flash ROM on it says, I've got no power, and it effectively resets its date.
Ah, okay.
And then you plug it back in, you recharge it, and you're good to go. So I do not want any one of us to do this with our business iPhone.
Okay.
But I do want to confirm this.
Leo. It's an interesting little thing to confirm.
I think I have an old iPod Touch I can try.
Leo.
Leo, have a go.
Anyways, go
Leo,
ahead.
Have a go and let us know.
Speaking of like sort of funny stories about factory resets and flash ROM and so on, I don't think I've ever told you guys this story. So my dad is at that age. He's been at this age for a little while where he's just obsessed with his heating and cooling bill, okay? And he, like, it's all he thinks about.
I'm getting there, too. Sorry.
I love it.
He,
you know, you get old. You do things.
Yeah. He has a condo, a cottage on Lake Erie, which is probably about 45 minutes away from his house, maybe a little longer. Anyways, if you're going there, it was this technology. It's sort of like a precursor to Nest. I forget what the technology is called. It's like 15 years old, but it's got like a built-in flash router and everything. And he can, over the internet, he can log in and reset it. So he keeps it as low as he can. And then if somebody's borrowing the cottage or if he's going... Like, if you're borrowing the cottage for the weekend for him, he'll go, call me, because it's only two bedrooms,
yes,
when you're 20 minutes away, and I'll turn on the heat. Like, that's how little he wants to waste it, okay? How concerned he is. But it's 15 years old, okay?
Uh-huh.
So it has some sort of watch battery or something in it. Broke. Apparently, when it boots up, and it has no battery, so the memory is lost, it sets itself, because it was historically used for hot water heaters, it sets itself to 109 degrees.
Oh, God. Oh, no way.
So his condo was 109 degrees.
No way.
For like 2 weeks.
No. What did it melt? It had to melt something.
In the winter. And like for my dad to hear that, like my dad who gets mad if you've left the refrigerator door open for an extra 2 seconds, when he found that out, he was ready to sue everybody.
That is great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But wait a minute. It was... designed for that. Did he hack it to be a thermostat, like, or is this
no
like,
so oh. it can be programmed as a thermostat.
Oh, okay.
That's just not its default setting.
Got it.
So
got
once
it.
The battery died, it couldn't save what its current setting is, and it's got like a he's had power outages and everything, but like it, the battery was able to keep his current setting.
That's hilarious,
you know. But yeah, so he has always wanted all... He has six kids. He has always wanted everybody to be a lawyer. And four of his kids listen to him. So he has four lawyers for kids. So he's like... he has all these lawsuits pending over it. Because he's so pissed about it.
Oh, you haven't been funny. Able to sort it out through some hacking scheme. You're a technologist. You can sort this
yeah,
out.
Yeah. Well, I've been telling it for years. I was like, Dad, I would just get... Because it's also like... It runs on like such a weird protocol that you need to open like every time he has a really long power outage, I have to go fix the wireless router because you have to open up I think I had to open up 12 ports for this thing to work.
Jeez.
And it's really weird how it works. It clearly wasn't designed for residential use. It must have been for factories or
right,
something,
right?
For their hot water heaters, apparently. So I was like, Dad, you should just get like a Nest or something. Like, I think it's going to be so much easier for you in the long run. But he's so cheap, he wouldn't do it.
I'm not going to buy that. That's expensive.
He gets $100 ComEd rebate now.
Energy yeah. companies are giving those away.
Now. Are they? All right, yes, well, I'll tell yeah. them that. Well, he did finally break down and get one after his apartment was at
$125. You get $100 rebate. It's $125 to install.
Yeah.
So
that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Birthday present.
So that remind. Have you guys know the sounds like Mr. Money Mustache? Have you ever heard of this guy?
No.
This guy is the most frugal guy ever. Look him up.
Okay.
Mr. Money Mustache.
Wow.
And I think he's been doing a blog for like 7 years or something like this. It's ridiculous. And his whole thing is just being as frugal as you possibly can. He retired at 30 because all he did was make money and he saved everything and didn't spend a dime. And he's notorious for having...
Well, when I just do Mr. M, it it auto completes Mr.
You find
Money
him.
Mustache.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a huge forum.
Yep.
Yeah.
Huge forum.
Just there was a New Yorker article on him recently. So mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's where I...
You know, some of the... I'm going to read it, and a lot of this, I'm like, oh, that's great advice. This is cool. But then some of it, I'm like, you know, I'm not ready to go that far. You know, like, some of it's like, I think I'll lose my friends if I've... Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing that I... And I haven't read the full article. I just read a piece of it. But the thing that got me was, like, his parents got a divorce when he was 14. His wife kind of... got sick of the fact that his father was really frugal and pissed her off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing this, and then there's something else about his wife who's like, yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah.
He's kind of a weird dude.
Yeah, yeah.
So your parents still married?
Yes, okay. Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah. Now, I will say in my dad's defense, my dad never had money. You know, he was a social worker with six kids, so it kind of came from that. But he is... I don't know. It's weird. See, he's weird. He'll be really frugal about some things, but then not others. It's like heating and cooling bill is an obsession with him. But then other things he doesn't care about. Like, he likes to always pick up the bill when he's out with friends, you know. So, like, he's not frugal with everything, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to fight him, you know, to get the bill.
Yep. Sure.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So, turning a little bit, Sean, you're out next week.
I am in L.A. Almost all of next week, Monday through. I fly back Thursday, but I don't get back
till
late.
What are you doing in L.A.?
I'm doing a bunch of shows, and one of them is for producers of this new Comedy Central show. We'll see if anything happens out of it.
Cool.
You know, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew you were going to be away, but
yeah.
I didn't know what you were... The theme was.
Yeah, it's mostly this show for these producers, and then picked up a couple other random things. So.
Did you find a place? Did you find a place to stay yet?
I'm staying with some buddies. Yep,
all right.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of frugality,
there's a code amongst comedians, right?
So. Yeah, comedians usually almost always, because the margins are so low, everybody's been there where they needed a free place to stay. So typically when a comic... I have so many friends in LA, it's not a challenge for me, but usually if a comic contacts you, like, and he's like, can I crash at your place? You're usually like, yeah.
So do they have beds, or is it usually like couch?
I think I'm going to be on a couch in this one.
That's all right. Yeah.
I have an offer for a bed, too, in my own room, which maybe I'll take, but it's a little bit further away from the city.
You're staying on T.J. Miller's couch.
I'm not staying on his.
Wait, you pulled a T.J. Miller joke before I could. I really want a drunk T.J. Miller text in the middle of the night.
To you?
Just whatever he wants to say.
Okay. All right. I'm a huge
T.J. Miller fan.
All right.
Get him to promote the robot at T.J.
No, I don't want... No. No.
I'll have him send you a
text. And I don't need genitals. I'm just saying I just would like some random T.J. Miller humor.
Deanne, you're going to see his balls at 3 a.m., okay? So
you're getting balls.
You're going to see somebody's balls.
You're getting balls.
Yeah.
You're getting somebody's balls. They may not be famous balls, but you're getting balls. All right?
Guess who this is. It's either someone famous or your coworker. We don't know.
I just... Since you guys did the mashup and you know each other, I just think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, TJ's a good friend to buy.
I just think it'd be a funny thing for you to...
You don't have to claim that you know this group in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, sure.
Just say, look, these assholes want me.
Yeah, would you mind?
Could you text or tweet?
WWIT.
Yeah, or hashtag.
Just for me, that's all. Just...
All right.
I just think it'd be so funny to get like a weird TJ Miller thing. And anyways.
Yes, anyways. So should we talk about the Donald, or should we leave it alone? You guys didn't really talk about
it. Well, it is interesting. It looks like he's probably going to become the nominee now.
Sorry, world.
Unless the rest of the candidates face up and say, okay.
Which they're not going to do.
They're not going to do. They're all stubborn enough.
An honest opinion. I will give mine first so that you guys feel comfortable. An honest opinion. If Donald Trump does continue to carry the day on the Republican side, do you think that there's just no way that he would get elected because he's Donald fucking Trump and what he's done is ridiculous and the American people would come out and say, enough is enough, thank you very much, go away? Or do you think there's a wave that would potentially pick up and run? And my fear is the latter. that the lunatic fringe mm-hmm. would come out in force and create a problem because there would be too much apathy on the side of sanity, and they'd be going, he's never going to win. And people would be saying, he's never going to win, and they wouldn't go out.
Yeah, yeah. I think Hillary Clinton would beat him in one of the biggest electoral college landslides of all time. I really do. I think he could beat Bernie Sanders if Bernie Sanders somehow became.
Yeah, you've said that.
I don't think Bernie Sanders could become the nominee, but if he could, I think Trump would beat him. But I think Clinton, I think it'll be the biggest landslide since Reagan Mondale.
Wow.
If Clinton went.
If it was Clinton versus Trump.
Why do you think it's so...
I just, like, I hang out with, like, a lot of... Like, I was on a camping trip where I think... I tend to be almost like a socialist. Like, I'm more left-wing than most. I don't really always like the Democrat Party. I don't like the Republican Party either. But I was hanging out with, like, all Republicans, and they're what you would call moderate Republicans, which I think
and
is the majority.
And they would vote for Hillary.
See, the moderate Republicans will definitely go Democrat.
Yeah, that's what they said. They're disgusted by Trump. Like, they're worried. They're worried that it'll be the end of their party, in fact. And I don't think... So I think in swing states, like, I can't see Trump winning, like, Ohio and Florida over Clinton, which would pretty much be the election right there.
Hmm.
Yeah, Colorado, he wouldn't win, probably. I can't see Trump. I think he's just too crazy for most Republicans. I think the people who vote in I think one of the problems the Republican Party has is the lunatic fringe is the primary voters.
Right.
But the thing is, we talked about this at lunch today. I listened to NBC this morning. Mm-hmm. Trump has been saying that if he wins the nomination, he'll tone it down then after he wins.
But then he keeps saying that.
Yeah, he's going to tone it down and change his demeanor. Yeah. But then this morning he was like, well, maybe I won't because you know what? What I'm doing right now is working.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and like, that's working. Why he's getting all this press is because he is so ludicrous. And it's like, if you tone it down, God, you're not going to get all the media attention. You're getting all the media attention because of how...
And what has he spent so far, though? Like, he hasn't had to, like, dip into
any
super PAC money.
No advertising. He's done, like, one ad.
He creates his own news.
Exactly. He did a little bit of campaigning mm-hmm. against Cruz in one of the primaries within the past couple weeks.
I think he's the guy who figured out this celebrity news fascination that the modern news has.
I mean,
where it's like, I create the story.
Some political science class... In a long future way is going to do like a case study on.
I totally agree.
How he beat the system,
new media. He understood
totally
the new media.
Beat the political and system.
And Palin did it to a bit, but
no.
It's based on the fact that he brought the Republican Party to a split, and they became the Republican Party and something else, and the something else is the sanity, or the Republican Party is the sanity. I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
They're due
and
to
he
split.
Became president.
They're due to split.
Oh, God, it's scary. Yeah.
No, but they're due to split, and I think what will end up happening though is he's very
crazy.
Yeah. But what's interesting, Dion, is both parties seem due to split. You know, like I think that's why we see Sanders. I mean, who would have thought that a 90-year-old, uncharming socialist would be doing this well? And it's because both parties... I feel there's people in both parties that feel left behind by... the leadership that they've seen
the millennials
in the last, and they feel like, you don't help us, you help corporate. Both parties are saying, I think the Tea Party on the Republican side is saying, you only help corporations,
right.
And the Democrats are saying,
Bernie
you only
Sanders,
have help corporations.
And you have, and I know this is mirror image, but this is my left hand, Bernie Sanders, and you got Donald Trump,
and they're both the insurgent campaigns, I feel.
And that, by the way, Donald Trump. And Ted Cruz. Just
put
him way over there.
Further
yeah,
out
yeah,
there,
yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Well, I don't even think he's a factor anymore.
That's out there, right? And then what you're saying is, and Hillary and Rubio mm-hmm. and Kasich and whatever, the others,
mm-hmm.
they're the centrists. They're the establishment.
Mm-hmm. How?
And that's the problem. The establishment, what you're saying is, the people are done with the establishment.
I think so.
But what did Bernie Sanders, the old white dude, say to the millennials to get them to speak up and say
they're anti-establishment.
Hillary establishment. Trump is crazy. Everybody else is establishment. So I guess by default that means Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing. And I watch Meet the Press.
Yeah.
I hear these things. It's like millennials want the old white dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do on social media, but supposedly studies are already showing they haven't shown up at the primaries. So it's like the classic problem with young people they don't vote.
I had a thing.
Yeah, exactly. I shared it on Facebook.
The number one thing that I read was that the Republican Party is broken because, and I'm just going to paraphrase, the crazies come out for the primaries and then they bring forth the person that's unelectable. And then the rest of the Republicans have to try to get this guy elected or person, whoever it is, based on the crazies who push the delegates through.
And I think that's totally true.
I'm not even talking about Trump this year. I'm talking about historically. Yeah. This is what they pick the person radically, and then it's like, oh my God, how are we going to get this guy in?
Which is where they're at right now. I mean, the Republicans are scrambling. Like, how the hell can we fix this? I mean, he's going to win. We need everyone else to drop out of the race, so it comes down to a two-man race.
And there's nothing I think they can do. And I think the Democrats are an election or two away from the same problem. I mean, Sanders shouldn't have gone this far. He has, you know.
I'm with you on the fact that this is weird.
Yeah. If they get like a charming young person that has that kind of message, I don't know. It's sort of like Trump tapped into that, and Sanders, I don't think, can tap into it as well. But if in four more years, well, if Hillary wins, she'd probably be blessed for reelection. But in eight more years, if everything was sort of politics as usual, I could see the Democrats having I could see Kanye West actually being the dude.
No.
I could actually see that. I honestly do. I mean, like, he could be the Democrats' Trump, you know?
I think Bernie
just controls the media because he's so insane. I think there's a lot of dissatisfaction on both parties.
I think Bernie Sanders just needed a proxy.
He basically did.
Go on stage and say what he wants to say.
Did anybody see Feel the Burn? The Burn Your Enthusiasm.
I did.
SNL.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was just perfect.
Yeah.
Like the whole. If you haven't seen it, you got to go. It's like, hey, Bernie, you want your coffee? Yeah, sure. We got 2% milk. What the heck's 2%? I don't want the 2%. I don't want the 2%. Like, and how the whole skit ends is genius. And I don't know. I watched that and I watched it again and again and I laughed my ass off. It's worth like 6 minutes of your time. You got to watch that. You know, the Burn Your Enthusiasm is awesome.
Yeah.
That was just, I don't want to like ruin it and we got to go on to other things.
So we'll move on from politics, but I just before we go.
Next Thursday or next Wednesday should be a good one because it's Super Tuesday next week, right?
Super Tuesday, we'll have a good
things
idea.
Things are going to be a lot more obvious.
We're basically going to know the two.
Or depressing.
The cream rises to the top or the turd.
Guys, I may just stay in China.
Sorry, John's going to be gone,
I'm going to be gone, yeah. So John's I'm not going to.
You should act like you're some huge. Are you guys ready to start losing? Because Trump is going to. Because
you guys are all losers.
You,
okay.
We lose so often to China.
I should get a Trump shirt and just wear that.
Did you guys see him with the. There was a video of him with the religious leadership. You guys see this?
Oh, that college where he said. What did he say?
No, not that.
There's another one? Oh, yeah.
There was a video of him, and it was, I get it, it was all of the religious leaders praying for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy starts, and he does his whole prayer, and you can see Trump kind of go,
God.
Excellent, we're done. And then no, the next guy starts.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next guy, and the woman starts. And then at one point, somebody puts his hand on his face and is giving a prayer to Donald Trump. And you're just looking at Trump. He's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you guys done yet? Can I get out of here?
The various religions all praying that he becomes president is just uncomfortable.
I'm pretty sure the Pope is praying against him, though.
It's uncomfortable.
So, yes.
If you haven't seen that video, look that one up, because I think it's worth
that's what
10
I
minutes.
That was nuts.
Pretty good. So
Donald Trump meets the religious leaders, including Robert Jeffries. Go on.
Move on
next.
From...
Next.
Move on from... political world. Does anybody have any good fun transformation news?
Oh, jeez, where do we start?
Fun?
Oh, come on.
Where am I supposed to go with this?
I don't know.
Which part of transformation am I sharing?
All right, so
what's
apparently
your funniest ones?
We don't want to talk about transformation, so I was wrong.
There's
been some funny stories lately, like everybody's sort of stuck in ticket hell and updating tickets, and we didn't talk about that a lot last week.
The one thing I saw and heard...
The urgent button?
Yeah, the two... Yes.
The urgent button's great.
Okay. Yes.
So, you said something, I think it was last week, about...
I don't remember, last week, remind me.
The magic of this whole service desk thing. If you just press 9, call the number, press 9, you'll get passed through to VIP support. Just that fast. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, good. Yes, let's broadcast that. So I'm broadcasting it again.
That's nice.
I can sound a global
note. Operator. Operator.
But you had a story about what's this urgent button?
That's funny.
So there is a current project in place. It's the first of its kind in our company's transformation process, where we're trying to move server infrastructure from the retained OPCO into the new vendor-supported world of servers. And there's just hey, fill out this template and give us this information and do this and do that. And it's we have no idea what you're talking about. Thanks for putting this in the ticket that we opened, but we don't even know what you're talking about. Meanwhile, there's somebody at a super high level going, this is super, we got to get this done by March 1st. I don't know what you guys are dilly-dallying on. Hit the urgent button. Let's go. Yeah. Go into service now. Check urgent button, and let's get this going. This is important. And there was almost a literal translation to literally pushing an urgent button in our service desk.
There's an actual urgent button.
There is a button, checkbox / need a response by insert calendar date here.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding? Okay. So, hey, person I'm working with across enemy lines, can you go push that button for us so that somebody responds? And I swear to God, within 24 hours, we got a response from somebody saying,
it works.
The urgent button works.
If you didn't have this template, go to this person. And I'm like, listen, this person doesn't have the template. Can you just send me the goddamn whatever information you need? I will send it to you.
Remember my challenge.
That's where this started and began.
My challenge was, I will brick my Windows phone if one of you will brick your iPhone.
Okay.
Here's the deal. Same thing holds true.
Urgent button.
Somebody open a ticket.
Yes.
To I want the urgent button, which does not get labeled today as an urgent button, is this other thing, to literally be changed to an urgent button.
Yeah. Well, we joke.
Open that ticket. Yeah.
With all of our ticket experiences, we should say that you click the urgent button and it should ask you how many people are in your office. Because we've had this, that we only have a small number of people in our office,
yep.
So they don't consider it a urgent matter.
Well, it's not urgent.
It's not. If it's only affected by 15 people, it's not urgent.
Don't care.
Yep.
What I've seen recently, which has been kind of funny, is that There seems to be, and I don't know if everybody's overworked on the other side of the fence or what's going on.
Yeah, and we should not refer to them as the enemy lines. I think may have come up there.
Yeah.
So.
I said not my no words. Let's just be clear. I said no names. Nobody knows
shooting
what we're talking
like you're
about.
In a foxhole.
Yeah. Yeah. we're doing well.
Yeah.
There's no bleeping.
But it's like, they'll ask questions just to delay it, I feel, or something. Like, questions like, you know, I'll say, oh, here's a server I need, and I'll give, like, the server name. They're like, what's the IP? I'm like, well, why the hell would you need the IP? You know, like, nobody talks in IPs, and the IP is the same for you as it is for me, you know.
You want to ping it? Ping it.
Yeah, ping it. But yeah, like,
we'll figure it out.
A lot of that has been going on recently, which is sort of weird, you know. Or they'll ask another question. Well, is this true about it? It's like, yeah, of course it's true. It's a server, you know. Like, you know.
Yes, and I hear what you're saying. I don't know. You know, it feels like people don't have a clue, and we suffer from this too. You know, we have a little bit of a luxury in that, look, we know who our masters are and what we're supposed to be doing 98% of the time. And then there's that 2% of the time where it's like, well, this feels like it's probably now transformed and somebody else should be dealing with it. Just flip those numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
You got those guys who are going, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do anymore.
Sure.
And who my master is on this. And so I'm going to ask a bunch of stupid questions and try to delay this to figure out what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it. So some cases, the individuals have justification for some of the bullshit that they're putting us through. Yeah. But, and I think the organizations, and I'll say the name because it's never been a secret, IBM, I think they count on a little bit of that during this transformation.
Yeah.
They count on the fact that we've taken this on. We've said that we're going to do, you know, whatever, $50 million worth of work for $20 million. So we took all these people on.
Yeah.
And it's $50 million worth of work. And the first thing we have to do is fire a bunch of people to get to the $20 million that we actually are charging people, right?
Sure.
And then we'll figure out how to make money.
Yeah.
So they're counting on the fact that they get a bunch of people who go, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Because guess what? The three guys that go, well, here's what you do. Well, let's figure that. They're the guys that end up with the job.
Mm-hmm.
And all the guys who say, they're out.
Mm-hmm.
That,
sure.
Something has to give somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
And it's a calculated risk. It's a calculated risk on our side. It's a calculated risk on their side.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the reality. They say, let's see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And over the next 2-3 years, we'll sort it out. And we'll be happy-ish. Mm-hmm. And we'll be happy-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all making money.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yeah.
Sad but true. So we're still in that mode of it's a bit muddy and not comfortable and we don't like it, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Dion was ready to say he was jumping in and stopped himself. Stopped himself.
Biting his lip over there.
So enough transformation?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure. So you guys posted something that made me go,
What was that?
So what's the latest on Hitler's micropenis?
I wonder if that... I've always had a theory that you could say anything about Hitler and people will believe it. Because you hear all that. You hear like...
It's almost like Trump.
Yeah, you know, you hear like he was a teetotaler. You hear sometimes he was a vegan. Sometimes you hear he never ate vegetables. You know, you hear all these weird, like he had glaucoma. He was colorblind. You hear all these crazy things about Hitler. Yeah. You know, he had Asperger's.
Wait, he was colorblind?
I don't know. Yeah, I know he wanted to be an artist. Supposedly, he was a painter for years, but
It was.
I don't know. I feel like people believe whatever they hear about Hitler for some reason.
There was a book that came out, and somebody mentioned it on probably in one sentence in like a 4,000-page book.
Uh huh.
And it hit the social media.
But this is an old story.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know if this was all just time of day. He's an asshole. We're going to claim that he has one testicle and a horrible penis, right? I mean,
but it was a very much like, so he suffered from a lot of things that made him crazy and want to, like, destroy the entire world, including a micropenis. And that was like, oh, my God, hashtag micropenis caught fire on Twitter. And that was it. It's probably a bad combination, right? Catching fire with a micropenis.
Yeah.
But anyways, so
a lot of friction there.
It was just there, and I was like, really? We're here. We have. It's a slow news day. We're gonna go to like a one sentence in a really long old book about Hitler's penis.
Okay, so it was literally nothing that you mentioned that made me go, what?
Well, I go, hey, Podcast Wednesday.
Yeah.
Hitler's micropenis, and they're like, what the? What?
Well, the thing is, I also had a comment to that.
I bought it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I had a comment to that Slack that, like, not more than 2 minutes before that, we were talking with a coworker whose wife is pregnant.
We're not allowed to say Slack. Slack is not a thing.
Oh, okay.
Go on.
You can beep that out. Whatever.
Yeah, sure. I'll do that.
But Dion was having a conversation with this coworker, and his wife's been really sick. And so the coworker's like, well, you know, she's been busy helping the baby form, so she's been really sick. And then the conversation came up, like, what body part was the baby forming that made her so sick?
Oh,
and
God.
All of a sudden...
Seriously?
Yes.
Melissa was working on building that penis so much that she wasn't great the first half of her pregnancy.
And not more than a minute later, there's the Hitler penis on our communications channel. I'm like,
well, they dodged a Hitler there.
Yeah, exactly.
By making that baby healthy.
So, you know, according to the story, it sounded like Hitler took a lot of bull semen to try to get his thing up. And who does that remind us of?
What? I have no idea where you're going with this. What are you looking at? What are you?
The movie, the bowling movie? Is that what you're talking about?
How do you take bull semen? Take, quote unquote.
Well, there's the old joke, like, we don't have two cows. Like, when you went to go milk two cows and it's a bowl. You know, that's an old joke.
That is an old joke.
That they had in the bowling movie, too. But, well, Time Magazine has come out and said that it's all false.
No, I'm not letting this go.
All right.
How do you take bull semen? Orally? I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't want to know.
I would assume.
It says this has been going... These rumors have gone on for over 60 years, and in fact, World War II troops used to sing a song, I could play it here, called Hitler Has One Ball.
Yes!
Well, yeah.
Wait, Hitler Has One Ball?
Well, I think they took a famous song and they...
Oh, every elementary school has been singing this for years.
Oh, it's in German.
You need to sing the lyric. You need to...
It's in German. I don't know what they're saying. It didn't occur to me that it would be in German.
All right, fair enough. So, yes, this is, like I said, I think it was in the time people took advantage of saying, this guy's a dick and we want to, like...
Literally.
Bring him down to his knees, and the euphemisms go on. But the point is, it may or may not be true,
mm-hmm.
right? It may or may not be true. It was all just hearsay.
Yeah.
But what is he talking about?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
And we know who we're talking about here.
What? No, I'm happy to say I don't, Dion.
I have no idea.
And I'm not sure
idea.
I want to learn who that reminds us of.
But your colorblindness thing brought to mind something else that was shared recently.
Oh, the colorblind glasses. Yeah,
yes,
I shared those,
yeah. So, I was on a call with... Well, go ahead, Steve. The context, how it came up is I was on a call with a vendor that we use a certain software that we're rolling out to a lot of groups, and they actually have support for colorblind people. And I said, well, that's great news because our top developer in our group is colorblind. And I said,
his code sucks because of it.
I said, don't worry, he's not front end. We don't let him do any UI.
He tries.
He tries. We deny it, and he only does back end work. But we talked about it. Yeah, go ahead.
Honestly, Steve. Would you choose to wear these? Are sunglasses?
It seems like a very high end, like sunglasses, glasses.
Like.
Yeah.
So would you wear these?
I would not spend that money if they fell into my possession. The problem is I would also need corrective lenses, too, because I have bad vision. But I would love to try them on and just see what the difference is.
So if somebody, you know, our listenership's growing by the minute. So if somebody were to offer up an option to share these glasses,
I would certainly try them. I'd be super curious to see, you know, like how different things would look.
You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna videotape it and put it on the internet, and it's gonna be like one of those babies.
A testimonial.
One of those babies hearing for the first time.
This guy sees
Sean's just gonna
light
start
red for the first time.
Oh my God, Christmas is so beautiful.
Sean's gonna start crying.
This chart makes sense.
He's gonna start crying. It's gonna go viral. Everyone's gonna be talking about it. See this 40-year-old developer see code for the first time in color.
I know I've told you guys some of like the incidents like I've had over the years, but like one time I was like at an Old Navy, and I just started a new sales job.
Are we right. keeping you up?
Sorry. I was up late last night with the kids, but I had started a new sales job, and I needed to wear a tie, and I needed a white shirt, so I go there, and they had, like, these white shirts for, like, they were like, $2 for, I'm like, oh my God, this is an amazing deal. So I bought, like, their whole supply of white shirts, at least in my size. I go up, and I had, like, 15 of them. And she goes, really? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, it's a great deal. She goes, yeah. You know, just a lot of guys wouldn't wear hot pink. And it looked like exactly like white to me. You
just
know?
Just say it's salmon. It's not
it's
pink.
Salmon, okay, ma'am.
You really want that many of these?
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, I mean, look, you usually don't need 15 hot pink. Like maybe one, you know.
Oh God. So how many salmon shirts do you still own?
I don't think I own it. I can't own them because I can't tell them from other things, right. So I don't know when I'm putting them on.
So you didn't buy them?
I did not, yeah. I tend to only own, like, pure shades, you know, and if it looks like something that could be in between shades, I have to, like, I'll ask somebody, I'll ask, like, an associate, like, what color
does
is this?
Jess help dress you now?
Well, if you stick in pure shades, you're usually fine. It's usually only when you get into, like, in between shades where it's, like really light colors or really dark reds, really light greens. That's when you start to...
Those of you that don't know Sean, I'm looking at him right now. He is pretty much either gray or almost clear. Because he's so pale.
Yes. Very pale. Dressing like mostly primary colors, you know. So it's actually pretty easy.
Gray top.
Yep.
Faded jeans. Mm-hmm. Beige shirt. Beige hat. Beige. Brown shoes. Yeah. You're very gray.
So you learn how to work it, you know.
The Irish.
What?
The Irish.
And I can't pull off like a lot of really elaborate and vibrant colors anyways because of how pale I am. So it's not really that big of a deal.
Do you see green?
You see green. It's in between shades. Like a very light green, I wouldn't be able to distinguish from a very light brown or a light red.
Oof.
Like, I wouldn't be able to tell those kind of colors.
You're going to need apart. Help on St. Patrick's Day is what that says to me. So...
As an Irishman.
Yeah.
I don't see Sean as a guy that goes out and has, like, the Kiss Me, I'm Irish shirt on.
No, I don't know.
Kind of just does it as he does, yeah.
Yeah.
Got a couple...
I think the two times I have seen Sean dressed to the nines are St. Patrick's Day.
I usually wear a tie on St. Patrick's Day, yeah.
And at a funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually wear a tie on St. Patrick's Day. We always had to go to church. You know, my grandparents were from Ireland, and in Ireland, it's like more of a religious day. Like, they'll go out late at night, but it's like, you know, like people have off work, they go to church. I mean, Ireland's just a very religious country, period. But
St. Patrick's Day.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, we would always go to church and then, you know, have family meals and stuff, and you'd have to be dressed up. So that's still...
Yeah.
And so, I have always had a rule for as much as I may or may not drink, I have always had a rule, I am never going to set my alarm clock to start drinking. You know, where a lot of people like to wake up early. I don't believe
anyone do that.
Oh, are you serious? Oh, all my friends
in Chicago, yes.
They would set their alarm clock. They would be like, okay, Murphy's is opening up at 6 a.m. I'm going to set my alarm for 5:30 to be there when Murphy's open. I had tons of friends that would do that. I'm like, I'm not joining you with that. I'll join you. And it would be weird going out for my first beer at like 10:30 a.m. and my friends are hammered from drinking for 4 hours. Already, yeah. There's like a lot of people that do that.
It's kind of fun to watch.
Kegs and eggs and so
on. When you're a parent living in the city and you have kids, you don't do that anymore. So one St. Patrick's Day,
you have set your alarm.
Never.
Okay.
No. But one St. Patrick's Day a few years back, it was really hot in Chicago. So we sat with my son and my wife, and we're sitting at Boston Market on a busy corner in Chicago, and we just watched the drunk people go by, and it was like 80 degrees, and everyone's got their short sleeve shirts on and carrying cases of beer, and they're all going to be hungover and sunburned the next day. It's going to be a miserable day.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But talking about your family, did your family drop the O when they came? So my mom's family is...
Were you O'Flannery?
We're O'Farrell.
We did not have the O when we... The O was dropped, apparently, in my family's history, like, several hundred years ago.
Oh, okay.
And we were Flannery in Ireland.
Okay.
In Galway, when they came over.
Because we were at one time O'Farrell.
Really?
So, yeah. Okay, it's interesting how families, when they came to the United States, dropped the O from Irish last names because they didn't want to be thought of as Irish.
Well, yeah, like they always claim it was a huge discrimination back then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We'll let anybody in but the fucking Irish.
Exactly.
It's funny, like that still. I have a friend who's a pretty successful comedian, and his name is Kumail Nanjiani. He's on the show Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
And when he came to America, he went to, I think Kumail went to Iowa State. But when he got his visa, he went to, or no, it was even a smaller school, but it was in Iowa. Oh, when he got his visa, like, so this would have been, like, I don't know what, 1998 or something like that. The guy was like, Kumail. He goes, all I know is your name is unpronounceable. Next. And, like, that's just how first American that he greeted, you know, like, made no attempt to, you know, try and understand it or anything, you know. Like, they didn't ask him to change it, but,
you know, that's something.
Yeah, there's improvement, you know.
Your name is Smith.
To me, he's the most famous Kumail out there. So,
probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have a time constraint, so we should probably wrap up.
Oh, yeah, I'll probably
have to. Does anybody have any last comments? Did we have any vendor scum this week?
No. Nope. It's only average.
No.
So we can save it.
We'll skip. We don't need to necessarily do that. Anybody have anything that they wish to share that we haven't covered?
Maybe next week they'll have a Deadpool-themed one with its success. That could be funny. You know?
That's true. They should do that.
You know, sort of corner that market. Nobody else is doing it yet.
We should, like, plant that seed. We should find a way to plant that seed.
Like, if you ever want to reach us.
Yeah.
You need to stay with pop culture and
R-rated superheroes.
You know, the biggest takeaway, again, was the fourth wall. Breaking down that fourth wall in Deadpool is...
I think you beat that to shit.
Making a joke in light of the fact that I was an asshole last week.
You're breaking the fourth wall yourself.
I'd like to break the fourth wall. And everybody listening out there, God bless and have a good week.
They all gave up after last week. Technical difficulties and holy shit, what is this?
Damn, he's drunk.
Welcome to the first episode of the Deadpool podcast.
Although I think we've inspired a few other groups to foray into
podcasting.
There are some other business-related podcasts that have come. They have not come out of this.
No, they got to start referencing us before we're referencing them, because we came first.
But too bad you've already referenced them.
So. Nope, I said no names.
We've got T-shirts. There are others.
Anyway, thank you all for listening. We are the Worldwide IT Guys. www.itguys.com. Find us on Twitter. What have I forgotten?
That's it. Sounds great.
All right. Cheers, everybody.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
good clean